Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you will answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore take for yourselves 7 bulls, 7 rams, go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourself a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, Zophar the Naamathite, went, did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. They consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver, and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Then he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, the name of the third Keren Hapuch. In all the land there were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren to 4 generations. So Job died, old, full of days. May the Lord add a blessing to this reading of his word. Let's approach the throne of grace once again. Father, we have heard your word and lifted our hearts in song and prayer. And now we would worship by the simple act of hearing. But it is by hearing the word of God that faith comes and faith is built up. So help us now to hear. Give us that insight and bless the speaker for Christ's sake. Amen. Why? It's a question often asked as if we got an answer to the question, we'd go, oh, I get it, okay. And that's not usually the way we ask the question. If God gave you an answer to the question, why, it wouldn't answer all your questions. And you would ask, just like, you know, you ever have little ones? Why? It goes on and on. You never get to the end. Job, throughout the book, basically asks God, why? But did God, or did Job rather, take his eyes off of God? The whole point of the book is that in all of that, he didn't. And here in the last chapter, we're told that God wasn't upset with Job for asking why. It's not a sin to ask God why. But there certainly is a lesson in accepting God's answer. Why? COVID-19. The mess that's been made of 2020. Why? Riots. In some cities, over 3 months, every single night. The teachers I know, I live with one, are exhausted. Professors, exhausted. Because of the pressures added to the regular teaching regimen. Everybody's a little bit on edge, aren't we? If we're honest. Anxiety. Why? Why all of this stuff? You know that old phrase, out of sight, out of mind. I don't even know who he is, but it's attributed to A.H. Clough, C-L-O-U-G-H, 1819 to 1861. I don't know who he is, what he did. But apparently that's his phrase. Trying to get us to not look where we should look. Darwin's theory of evolution attempts to take our eyes off the Creator. And it's turned our attention to this theory. The modern media tries to get our eyes off of God by looking at what? Well, fashion, wealth, beautiful bodies, famous athletes, anything but God. I don't know who it was, but some commissioner for the NFL, quite a long time ago, said publicly, "We own Sunday." That's problematic. Philosophy wants our eyes not on God, but on man. You have the power within you. Man is the center of the universe. Man is the center of all things. You have the power within you to fix man's problems. As long as our eyes are on anything but God, He will be out of sight, out of mind, and out of our hearts, and out of our lives. We ought to ask the question, well, why come back to the very last chapter of Job? Well, most of us who are believers and Christians for a long time, we know the story. But we often forget the ending. Do you know what is possible with God? Prior to chapter 42, Job has been listening to the voice of God in chapter 38, 39, 40, 41. Why does God spend four chapters revealing His majesty? Well, because we're slow to believe it. We're a little slow on the uptake. See, just knowing about God is never quite enough. James chapter 2 verse 19 says, "The devils believe and tremble." That doesn't mean they're believers. Doesn't mean they have faith in God. But Job comes to a place after listening to God reveal His majesty, where he says in verse 2, "I know that you can do everything, and no purpose of yours can be withheld." from you. God's will is never broken. You may be confident of this. God gets whatever he wants, no matter what happens in your life. Do you know what's possible with God? Job has come to a place where he says, almost, not quite in those words, but he almost says, I get it, God. All your knowledge is useless. He said in verse 3, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge, without understanding? What good is all the knowledge you have? Doesn't give you the complete knowledge of God. And there may be some here tonight who have extensive knowledge of God. You've read the Bible. Maybe you have a seminary degree, you've been a pastor, an elder, Bible study student. Words without knowledge. He said as much back in chapter 38, verse 2. Who is this who darkens counsel? One of the first things God says is, who do you think you are? Job? Isn't it true that we can say an awful lot and not say anything worthwhile? Paul has to write to young Timothy, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. I charge you not to teach any other doctrine. Don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification in faith. Brothers and sisters, have we not heard some pretty endless arguments? Which millennial position is going to be the final end? Do you understand everything about God? Without going back through all of chapters 38 and 41 through 41, just some of those highlights, 38:4, where were you when God laid the foundations of the earth? And some people have said, the Bible can't be true because the earth is not on a foundation. It's just not understanding poetic Hebrew language. But the earth is in a place where it's so regular, the sun will come up exactly in the same place it did this morning, next year, on this date. So close, so exact, that we could put a stick out there in the yard and the shadow will hit the same spot at the same time next year. Can you count every grain of sand or snowflake or raindrop? Chapter 38, 22. The numbers are astounding. You ever sat on a beach and thought about that passage? Whatever beach you're on, just one beach. And you can't count those sands of grain? Grains? Thank you. Completely gone. Grains of sand, can't count them. But they're right there. You can't pick up a handful and count them. They're all known to God. Snowflakes, as different and amazing as they are, one by one, not a single one God doesn't know about. Can you make lightning strike where you want it to strike? You do know that Back to the Future is make-believe. Right? You can't pick the time and the date and the place for a lightning strike. But God can. One of the things about tornadoes in the South that's so amazing is that they'll go down a street, take out these three houses, skip the fourth, go over to the fifth, and keep taking them out. And the neighborhood stands there and goes, what's going on here? Same tornado. You can't control that. Apropos for this week, can you tell a baby when to be born? 39:1. You know, if they knew the exact moment of conception, they might go, okay, 39 weeks, well, here's the date, and they'd still miss it. By hours, by a day, by a week, by 2 weeks, by 3 weeks. Can you correct God? Chapter 40, verse 2. Or what are you compared to? Chapter 40 and 41. A dragon or a whale, whatever these creatures are that are being described. If you were made ruler of the world, could you handle it? How are you doing ruling your world? There's a lot of improvements we could make, but I don't think I could handle ruling the world. It may sometimes seem like God has, if he hasn't made mistakes, God's timing seems to be off. He's taking too long to get this done or that done. But brothers and sisters, what God is saying to Job is that God is God. There are things in God's world that are too wonderful for you. Psalm 139, verse 6 says, I cannot attain it. Even if you went after attaining it, you couldn't. Because his ways are too high. Just think about the creation in all its splendor. The two things that I've seen from airplanes, by the way, not from ground level. The Rockies, going out to Seattle for GA. One of the most stunning things I've ever seen. But I was 35,000 feet up, and they were still impressive. And the second was the desert. When we crossed from Europe into Africa, there's a little strip of green at the northern part of Africa. And then in a few minutes, you're in the middle of a sea of brown, as far as you can see on both sides of the plain. The most stunning thing I've ever seen. I was 35,000 feet up. Absolutely took my breath away. I put my toes in the Gulf of Mexico. I've never been out west. Never saw the Grand Canyon. But aren't there things that are even more than that? How about the love of God for filthy, rotten sinners like you and me? If you thought about it for a moment, that he makes out of us those who love him. It's amazing. And what about those things that the writer of the Proverbs says in Proverbs 30, verse 18? Three things are too wonderful for me, four which I can't figure out. An eagle in flight. I get captivated to see the hawks on the power lines out here. Come out some evening, and without seemingly moving, they just hover out there in broad circles. It's mind-boggling. Snakes on a rock. Those will capture my attention as well. They're probably you too, unless you have a dreadful fear of snakes. Ships at sea. I understand today there's GPS and you don't even need a sextant and you don't need the stars and all of that, but it's still amazing. And people in love. What makes two people join their hearts and lives together? It's kind of amazing, isn't it? So now we ask the question, are there things about God you don't know? Yeah, God is saying, just look at the world. There's knowledge you don't have of the world. You certainly don't have knowledge of God. So how are you going to speak to the Creator of all things? What does Job say in verse 4? Listen, please, let me speak. You've said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. Have you asked God for answers? By the way, Job is not being sassy. He's not being a wise guy. He's not saying to God, how dare you? He's saying something like, you're right. You're God, and I'm not. Brothers and sisters, there is a right way to speak to God. It's not demanding. It's not presumptuously. It's the way of submission. In fact, here's the only way that you may come to God. On your face. Physically or spiritually. If He were to show up physically, guess where you'd be? Isn't that what happened to almost everybody? Virtually everybody who came face to face with an angel ended up on their face. Imagine coming face to face with God. Job is confessing that he cannot answer God's simplest questions. You ever see there's a close-up shot of some kind of a goat-like thing standing on a rock. And then the camera backs out. You ever seen this shot? And it backs out to a place that's mind-blowing. This goat is up on the side of a sheer rock cliff. And the first thing you think is, how did it get there? And then it just casually, nonchalantly, walks up the rest of the mountain. Mind-blowing. Brothers and sisters, God will not hear a know-it-all. He hears those who come to Him in repentance and submission and faith. And there are many who may be just like verse 5. They got a glimpse of God. I've heard about you by the hearing of the ear, but now I see you a little more clearly. You know, there are some people that think they have all the knowledge they need of God. There's a lot of people that know God, but don't really know Him. I know Bill Clinton, but I don't really know him. He certainly doesn't know me. Do you have more than a passing acquaintance with God? I know Babe Ruth, but I never had a hot dog with him. Are you at home with God? Can you call Him Abba, Father, Daddy? Your God, your Father? Are you familiar with Him? Are you comfortable with Him? Are you at home with Him? Or have you sat in church and by the hearing of your ears, for years you've heard about God, but have you never submitted to Him, bowed the knee to Him? Does your eye see God? Have you ever felt the power of the things that you know about God? His immensity, His infinity, His eternity, in all of His ways. Brothers and sisters, most of you here and watching online have been blessed to have good teachers who preach the Word of God. And you have heard from the Word. if the Lord doesn't open your eyes by the Spirit, it's just head knowledge. When the Spirit teaches you, you'll see God with new eyes. I hate to tell you this, but sometimes you can only see God after He's afflicted you. Isn't that what happens to Job? He loses the children. He loses the business. He loses his health. Now, I see God. After God questions him. You can always tell if somebody has seen God by what they think of themselves. Verse 6. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Closer you get to God, when your eyes see Him by faith, you will not think so highly of yourself. You will see that all your righteousness is filthy rags. This word, abhor. You know, brothers and sisters, it's not enough to sometimes just say, I'm sorry. But the word is a word about hate. Do you hate your sin? Or do you like it just enough to see how close you can get to putting your toes on the line? I'm right up to the line. I didn't cross it, but I'm right up to it. That's not hating your sin. Sometimes in our eyes, our sin is not so great. And we think, well, I'm not as bad as him. I'm not as bad as her. But if we hate, if we abhor our sin, sin will be horrible in our eyes. Do we hate our pride? Or do we deny it? Do we hate our discontent? Or do we just shrug our shoulders and say, well, do we hate our quick tongue? Or do we just say, well, that's the way I am. There's nothing I can do about it. You know, God's laws are like 10 guns that are pointing at you. How many of the guns have to go off to kill you? Just one. That's what James says. Just one. So, where do you stand before God? We need to repent in dust and ashes. Are there outward signs of the changes that have happened in our lives? If there's no outward change in us, brothers and sisters, there's been no inward change. There is more sin, more evil in all your sin than in all the troubles that you face. And you may face a lot of troubles, physically, emotionally, financially, but there's more trouble in your sin than there is in those things. We cry over our troubles. We pray over our troubles. We sometimes shed tears over our troubles. We should do that over our sin. Because the more you see the glory and majesty of God, the more you will abhor yourself. One of the traits that is found in many of the Puritan Reformed writers. These are holy people that we revere. And the closer they get to God, the more they know God, guess what? The less they think of themselves. Now my eyes see you, that you are God. And I have horribly offended you. We basically spit in God's face when we ignore his command to repent of our sin. We say, oh, my sin's not that bad. But just as God's majesty is, so God's mercy is. God's majesty is infinite. God's majesty is great. God's majesty is never ending. So is God's mercy. It's just as wonderful. What must I do, O God, if I see myself as I really am? What must I do to be saved? It's a simple answer that Paul gives the Philippian jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That John gives, or that Jesus gives in John. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and he will never cast you out. Obey every word of God. That's quite a challenge. But the Lord says it in John 15. The book of Job is not really about Job, is it? It's about God. It's meant to show us the transcendent goodness, power, mercy of God. Turning our captivity into freedom. It's interesting that he basically got twice as much as he had before. Now, by the way, this is not some kind of spiritual mathematics, where every time the Lord afflicts you, you end up with twice as much as you had before. But in Job's case, that's exactly what happens. This is the blessing of the latter days of his life, verse 12. More than he was blessed in the beginning. I often wonder if Mrs. Job felt that way. She had 10 kids, lost them all. Now she has 10 more. 7 sons and 3 daughters. And where does Job end up? What an amazing phrase at the end of this book. So Job died, old, full of days. We need to leave the ruling of the world, asking why, to God. I always forget who it was that basically said, let Mark cease to rule the world. We say that to each other all the time. We watch the news and we don't like the news, and we say, let Annie cease to rule the world. Let Mark cease to rule the world. Let God be God. I'm, brothers and sisters, I'm ready. I'd like to be in 2022. Looking back and saying, remember that 2020? Wasn't that a crazy time? Aren't you glad that's over? I don't know if we're going to get to that place. But I know that God is still in control. Is God out of sight, therefore out of mind? Where you put your faith in the living God? Do you see God? You want a prescription? Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. John 14, 9. He that has seen Jesus has seen the Father. You want to know who God is? Look at Jesus. Or do you want to be like that man who said in John 9, this is the one thing I know. I once was blind, but now I see. Do you know that your Redeemer lives? Job said that earlier, remember? Very early. Chapter 19. I know that my Redeemer lives and that I will see him. He wasn't talking about a physical apparition. I will see him in this life, which in the middle of, he was struggling. There is coming a day when you will have a face-to-face with the living God, the judge of all the earth. And the big question is, what do you do then? Where do you stand then, face-to-face with the living God? You put your hand over your mouth, like Job does, and say, I have nothing else to say. I want to remind you that when God reveals himself to Job, Job is not being rebuked. We read clearly, he rebukes the three friends who said all kinds of things that weren't true about God. Now, they did say some things that were true. They did. But they also said some things that were completely wrong. And God rebukes them, not Job. Job, on the other hand, through God's revelation, is what? Humbled. Humbled into repentance. Brothers and sisters, we often read Job in the first three chapters, and then we kind of wonder about all these arguments that his friends make. The real place to get is the end. These four chapters where God asks all these questions. You want a devotional to do? Go through those chapters again. Think about the questions God asks. God rules as sovereign. All his ways give glory to God. And the only thing that we can do is trust him. He's God. We're not. Let God be God. Maybe you'll get to the place where you die, old, full of days, having recognized that God is sovereign in every one of his ways. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before you, who are the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God. Powerful, mighty, maker, sustainer, giver. Oh Lord, help us to see with the eyes of faith the powerful, mighty God, who has also worked mercy through Jesus Christ, our living Savior. Our living Lord, give us eyes to see for the praise, glory, and honor of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.